Amen. I guess I could for 5 minutes, introduction, not even get into anything. Adam, you stand up and shout glory, hallelujah, when the 5 minutes up, I'll know. But it's our joy to be with you and be in the services last night, just to be on the grounds. We thank God for your pastor, and it's just a blessing, kind of like getting to Jerusalem, and just having a time of fellowship. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to take my 5 minutes, I guess, in there. Now, if you play with a computer, and I thank God for these Bible computer programs, where you can just type in a few words and see where they're found in the Scripture. And not too long ago, I got curious, and I just typed two words into the program, the search menu. I said, wonder where I can find "we preach," because we get all over the country. And there is a need to preach the Word. And it sounds so simple. And what amazed me is I got five responses. And the first response is here in Romans chapter 10. And it is, we preach faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God the Father. Faith unto an eternal salvation. We'll come there and deal with that in a moment. But the second one is in the early chapters of 1 Corinthians. And we preach Christ crucified. And the third one is in the closing chapters of 1 Corinthians. And it asks the question, do the dead rise again? And so we preach Christ resurrected. And the fourth one is in 2 Corinthians. And it says, we preach Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. And the fifth one is in Colossians, and it's we preach Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I got to thinking about that, and it's interesting, Brother Craig, that's perfect order. Somebody said, well, it didn't matter how the Bible got put together. They just kind of jumbled it. They could have put Colossians first and Romans second, and it didn't make a bit, as long as I got Revelation last. But no, God has preserved His Word more ways than we could ever imagine. And it's nice to stumble on something just so wonderfully ordered. And I want to deal with that first one, if I can, here in Romans chapter 10 this morning. We preach faith, faith that does not fail. We hear much about cancer and our hearts burdened and physical problems. I remember a neighbor we had, landlord, actually, years ago, his wife got cancer. And they had been just faithful church members, loved the Lord, didn't follow all the faith healers, but when she got cancer, he started taking her everywhere and anywhere. And no matter where, he took her. And no matter what they said, what they did, or what they prayed, she still had cancer. And in a few years, she died from that cancer. Somebody said, well, if you'll just come and let me lay hands on you, God will heal you. And then if you're not healed, well, the problem is you don't have enough faith. Well, the reality here is the faith we read about in Romans, it is the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That faith does not fail because it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on the promise of God. God will not apologize to anyone who has come by faith to Jesus Christ. Believe that God gave His only begotten Son. Believe that Christ died for your sins, shed His blood. That faith will not fail you. We find in the chapter that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called the Word of God. We have God's Word on it. I would take your word on most anything you would tell me. And I take God on everything He said. It's good tidings in this chapter. It's good news. And for it to be good news, you've got to be desiring some news You've got to be in a position where your heart yearns for something like Noah, the world in wickedness, and you know this isn't right and something's got to change. Something's got to be different. And the preacher, the Word of God, the Spirit of God comes and you hear good tidings. There is forgiveness, there is deliverance, there is a better life, there is a new life, there is... It's the gospel of peace in this chapter. There's peace between God and man. Job said, "Oh, that there was a daysman." And we look at the New Testament and Jesus Christ and we cry back and say, "We've seen Him, we've seen Him, we've found Him, Job." Amen. But we do something more than just preach the gospel. We preach obedience to the gospel. See, it's one thing to have a head knowledge. It's another thing to have Him living in your heart. Israel, at the close of this chapter, is described as a disobedient and a gainsaying people because they refused to obey that gospel. They said things like, "How is it possible? How could God be born of a virgin? How could some sacrifice of a man 2,000 years ago take care of my sin now?" And it's not the matter of questioning, but it is the matter of trusting. And someone said, "Well, how can you have faith?" Well, you live by faith all the days of your life. Faith cometh by hearing is a principle that's been part of your life since a child. This nation listened to political promises. And they heard enough, they believed those promises, and they voted accordingly. And I won't deal with the rest of that. But it's what gets us into trouble. The reason why you don't go to the car lot and look. Because that salesman will say enough, you might wind up signing papers and driving it home. We live by faith. And if we're going to have faith in God, that faith comes from God, from the Word of God. Amen. James asked a question. He said, "Can faith save a man?" He made this suggestion by the Spirit of God, all Scripture again. He said, "You show me your works, your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works." You know, Jesus answered that question. There's a little scene. I'll share it with you and my 5 minutes will be up. He's been asked to eat at the house of the Pharisee early in Luke's gospel. There's a woman who knows he's going to be there. She's there from the time he comes in. She's weeping And so she's come anticipating the presence of the Lord. And she's come with something to sacrifice, to give unto God, that alabaster box. The Bible says that she's standing at His feet. If she were here, the way you're seated this morning, it would be very difficult for her to be behind you and to have access to your feet. So we know that Simon, he's trying to keep up with the trends of the day. He has the furnishings of the upper level society of Rome. They have those couches, those what we'd call a feigning couch, and they're just kind of lounging and eating and having the servants take care. And she's standing behind the Lord's feet. And from the time she's standing there, her tears are beginning to wash His feet. And she sees that. And she falls to her knees. And she begins to wipe the tears from His feet with her hair. Ladies, your hair is your crown of glory. I won't ask how long it took you to get it like that this morning. And I know you want the windows up and the air conditioning on because it'll blow a little bit. For her to use her hair. I think there was a servant standing by. Certainly at that level of a home, he had waiters and waitresses and someone standing there with that towel on the arm, and she might even have looked in that direction, and that servant might have started in her direction, but Simon would have looked him off because Simon's thinking in his heart, his opinion of Jesus is that he's not even a prophet. Because if he had been a prophet, he'd have known the manner of woman touch. I thank God, God knows the manner of us. And he still lets us touch him. The Lord's got a message for Simon. From the time I came into this house, he said, you offered no water. Now at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, they had run out. They had such a crowd. Simon just neglected the Lord. He gave him no kiss of greeting, and she's kissing his feet. He gave him no ointment for his head. Now, when they came into the house, they'd get the dust off the feet. They like we would, straighten our hair, go in the restroom and take care of it. And that's apparently what that ointment would do. And no common courtesy to Jesus. This world's filled with that. But she's breaking her alabaster box and anointing his feet. And Jesus has a message for her, and I want to leave it with you this morning. Jesus says so simply, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith. Faith that loves Jesus. Faith that bows at his feet. Faith that gives him preeminence. Faith that knows who he is. We preach faith unto an eternal salvation.